All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Bob Ennis. Say good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to get to him in just a second. If you haven't gone to spiritualwarfareunit.com, if you know anyone that's struggling, click on spiritualwarfareunit.com, hit the three lines, menu page, go down to struggling. If you know people that need food or clothes or schooling or programming, baby formula, you can be the person that helps them. So help us, help you, help them. And we're going to get into what Bob is doing. So if you want to check out his website while we're talking, it's ennisscenter.org. That's ennisscenter.org. So you can check out what he's doing while we're talking about it. All right, Bob. So welcome to the show. How are we doing this morning?
Well, fine. Good morning to you.
All right. So you have a program called Ennis Center for Children Housing, right?
No, Ennis Center for Children, just Ennis Center for Children.
All right, and it's a housing program?
It's a foster care program. It's a variety of programs, foster care, adoption, mental health, art therapy, you name it, delinquency. We do a lot. We
have all right, so your program is working with children that need somewhere to go.
Right, children and families who need somewhere to go. We think the mistake has been often we look to the child who has the problem, that's usually the symptom, because he's got a family or community that hasn't wrapped around him or her to make it work.
Right.
So we try to make that happen, and then we know mental health is an issue.
Okay.
So we have our own mental health program within our program for cases we can treat. If we don't have the expertise to do it, then we farm it out.
Okay.
If we have the expertise to do it one-stop shopping, so to speak, as people call it lately.
All right. So we're going to get to that in the fourth section about what you're doing and how you're doing. But I wanted to get your story. I want people to meet you because you're the reason why they're here. My buddy Bob McKamey. If you haven't, all of our friends are on Partners for Recovery. That's Partners and number 4 Recovery. So if you need anything dealing with AA or NA or DUI lawyers or anything like that, anything in the AA realm, you can check that out. That's Partners, the number 4 Recovery. So that's how I got a hold of you. So where are you from? Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in Holly, Michigan.
Okay. It's a rural area.
It's a rural area.
Yeah.
I work in the cities often, but I'm really a country boy. I love to fish, hunt,
really?
All those types of things outside.
So where'd you go to school?
I went to Holly High School.
Okay.
Then I went to, I'm so old, I went to Flint Junior College. That's now Mott, because my dad had a stroke, so I had to work then.
Wait, hold on. You can't just grease over that. Like, what? How old were you when that happened?
I was 15, 16.
So you're just starting high school and your dad had a stroke?
Yes.
What was it from? Just happened?
He died of it. Yeah, it just happened. He worked two jobs to help my sisters go to school.
Oh, so he's a hard worker like you are.
He was a hard worker.
And what did he do?
He worked at General Motors. And he worked at both. He did two shifts, which was against illegal. He worked at Chevrolet, and then he went the night shift at Buick, put my sister through school.
No kidding.
How many
kids?
I don't like the word step. I'm the only child from my dad and mom, but they divorced when I was very young. And
yeah.
So he had a lady that had two sisters, and I don't like to use the word step. So
yeah, yeah.
And my two sisters.
Oh, so there's three of you.
Three of us.
Okay.
But I was raised by my grandmother. My parents divorced when I was 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to Flint from Holly
here
a couple of years, and my mother had major emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
She was labeled schizophrenic, and she was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother came and got me and my grandparents and took me back to Holly, and that's where I've been until I moved to Argentine because I thought I wanted to scale down, and then I couldn't handle that. So we went back there. We bought a place with 31 acres over in Argentine. And
city boy, or country boy trying to get in the city,
didn't work for me. I like it quiet. I love the city.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I like when I go home, I want to look outside and see trees and animals and
Green and silence.
And see spring come when God resurrects everything from the dead.
Right. We only have like 10 months of winter in Michigan
That's all. And I don't dislike winter, but the older I get...
The body tired, just doesn't work.
The more tired I get of it.
Yeah, one of my oldest sayings is getting old ain't for sissies.
That's exactly
I mean, you got to be tough to get old, right?
My uncle calls it, who's like my dad, calls it the good stuff. You haven't seen the good stuff.
Yeah.
You get older like that.
So yeah, and you learn how to appreciate those little moments.
Oh, you
right?
certainly do.
All right, so you're 6 and 7. Your parents divorced. You went and lived with your grandparents.
No, they went and got me, so then I went and lived with them, right?
They snatched you up.
Yeah, he and my granddad were right. Foster friends, yeah.
All right, and how long were you in Flint before that happened?
About three. No, not even that long. About 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so as far as molding your personality, like dealing with that dysfunction, I had very similar experience to you. And so dealing with that dysfunction, by the time you went to, it wasn't called MOD, it was called what?
Flint Junior College.
And what year was that?
1961.
1961, you were in college. Mm-hmm. Man, you do not look it. Good for you. Outstanding.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going, and what were you going for?
I knew I wanted to be something with people, like a social worker, from the time I was 9.
Wow. Okay.
I did a lot of pondering, but I loved my grandparents. I loved my uncle, who I just mentioned. He's the only one left. All the rest of them are gone.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to work with kids and people.
You knew that at 9?
Yeah.
Like, what was the reason? Like, what was that?
I wasn't with my parents. I loved being with my grandparents, and everybody thought I had it made because everybody loved my grandparents.
Yeah.
They had their parents at home. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and not that I could, because both of them had issues, but particularly my mom.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wanting to be with the, quote, stepmom, who I ended up calling mom, because I wanted to love her as much going forward. But, you know, I just wanted to keep families together whenever that was possible.
And so because of that struggle at the beginning of your life, it planted that seed.
Correct.
Man, that's all right. So you go in there and how was, did you have to work through college? Did you have help with that? How did that go?
My uncles, and work was an ethic at our house. You did it and you enjoyed it because we had fun, but you had to do it. You knew that. And
it wasn't an option.
No, it was not an option. But it taught a responsibility. So I had my own business at 14.
Really? Doing what?
Several.
Several businesses.
Yeah. Wow. One, we did Christmas trees. I did those. They bought me a lawnmower. My grandfather.
So you're cutting
my
lawns?
My uncle actually bought me a lawnmower, a push gas one.
Yeah.
And I kind of wore those out pretty quick because I took like a 5-acre place I cut for $25.
Acres with a push mower.
So I wore out a lot of lawnmowers then. And my grandfather gave me a truck. So I started hiring people to work for me. And the first mistake I made was paying them by the hour, because I'd go to get them and then they'd be sitting down. So I learned to pay by the job pretty quick.
Right.
But I built that business into probably a $5,000-$6,000 summer business that was net for us.
No kidding. At 14.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you just took to capitalism.
Well, I wanted to go to school and I wanted to make money, and all my family worked.
So you knew this at 14?
Oh, yeah.
Man, your grandparents had you screwed in tight, man.
Well,
that's
my grandparents and my uncles, they didn't take no mess either. I could drive a car at 16 as long as I washed it, paid for the insurance.
What kind of car was it?
Oh, God, all of them. Even though I worked at General Motors, it was UAW, my uncle bought Fords. My other uncle bought Dodges for a long time. Then he switched over to Chevys. But I could drive any car I want. I was a hip dude at 16 when I came to Flint with a new car every other day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Girls kind of like that. I liked it.
Yeah, they did. They did like that.
But if I didn't get home by 1, then I didn't get the car anymore.
Oh, it says gone.
That year, it was gone. But I never got lost it.
And do you find having that kind of strict support as a positive?
Oh, yes. I think we all need guidance. I think if you go outside now, it's 10:09, 10:08, and it's dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, what the heck's going on? The structure, we all need some structure.
Right.
If not, things are turned around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even know if I got a spanking, I call them whippings, but I don't like use that word anymore because they think that's bad. When I got a spanking, I knew if I deserved it. And I only had two that I didn't deserve.
Out of all of them, there's only two?
Only two. But my dad got mad at me one day and called me and didn't hear him. And he wore me out. My grandmother said, no.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think you need guidance. And I couldn't wear blue jeans to school. My grandmother didn't buy that. You had to wear khakis.
Khaki pants, sure, absolutely.
And they had to be pressed. And you better learn how to iron them.
Yeah, you better know where the presses go.
That's right. And you better know how to cook.
Yeah,
which paid off in college because I cooked and made money for
football make money
at state because I went to state then and I went to Michigan after that for my graduate work.
All right, so you went to Mott and then you transferred
Michigan State
to Michigan State. Okay, so you got your basics out of the way.
Yep, my bachelor's degree from there.
And then state, you got what?
Got a bachelor's in social work.
In social work, and then Michigan, you got what?
A master's in social work.
In social work. Yep. Okay, so you're how old at that point?
Okay, there were different stages. I was 2 years in. So I was 19 when I was at state. I was out of there at 21. I worked, lawn service. I had kept that for a long time, just monitored it. I thought I might want to be a mortician because my uncle and aunt were, and they tried to get me to do it. I actually worked for Spencer in this town doing that work, but that wasn't rewarding enough for me. It was just nice to do it, but I went back to Michigan and got my degree out there at 79. So I worked at DHS.
So you graduated from state and started working right with the state?
Right away.
And you're doing what then?
I'm doing casework when they called it then.
Okay. So, and then casework is dealing with families and...
I started with what they called old age assistance. That's what they called it.
Old age assistance.
And I switched out of that. They switched me to aid the dependent children, they called it.
Okay, so what's the time frame between graduation from state, getting the job, and the master's degree? What was the time?
I can't remember the exact years. I think I got my master's degree in 79, I think.
So you were working, and you had the lawn mowing job?
Oh, yeah, the lawn mowing job, and I worked. I'd never been out of a day's work in my life. In college, I worked for General Motors down in what they call the hole, where catering is.
Yeah.
And my dad got me a job. I talked myself into an easy one. He worked at the same plant, so he came downstairs and said no to the guy. So I ended up lifting, shaving heads down in the hole, which was...
Yeah, that's gross pleasant. Work. I know, actually know that job. That's where they put all like the troublemakers.
Oh, my God, Then I got sick of that job from the oil, so he moved me from there to crank. So then he had to move the crankshaft from one end to the next. He didn't want me to stay in the factory, was the bottom line.
He made it so uncomfortable that you didn't want to do it?
You bet.
Man, that's smart parenting right there.
Really smart, yep. And my uncles all worked there. My aunts all worked there. My mom worked there.
Yeah, like it's good money, but it's hard work. Yeah.
Then I got lucky, though. Then I got a chance to. My uncle got me a job at DuPont.
Oh, really?
When DuPont was here, now it's merged.
Now, what year was that?
It was at state then, so I was in
junior, 60s. Senior year?
Yeah, it was at state. And, junior, senior year.
All right, so basically, struggled with your family with a dysfunction, which I, same thing, mom, same thing, struggle, multiple personality disorder diagnosis, alcohol, drug issues, and addiction. Not a monster, just struggled.
Struggled.
Dad struggled. They didn't, and their families were not consistent. So there's that struggle there. There wasn't that anchor to hold.
My mom's family was in good shape, and so was my family. My mom couldn't handle the divorce from my father.
Mm.
And she used to say to me, it's a great life if you don't weak it.
Yeah.
And she weaked it. And I tried my best to support her, but she died when I was 21.
All right. We'll hold. That's a perfect spot to take a break. You've not gone to NSENNISCenter.org. Check that out on the break. Like, share, and subscribe on Spiritual Warfare Unit. We'll be right back. Taking a quick break from our podcast, I wanted to let you know about our life application program that we have for churches and nonprofits in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in. You go to spiritualwarfareunit.com. Click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program.
Mine off.
Yeah.
No accidents.
All right. All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Bob Ennis, and we were just getting into the early years and you knowing from an early age that you want to get into social work, which is, if you don't know that, that's a strange thing for a nine-year-old to want to get into. And then the hard work and the family, and so your parents are divorced early, grandparents have got you in there, you're always working, got that mentality of job and doing the thing and have the new cars.
Yeah,
and,
I like that.
So when you were 21, so you would have been at Michigan State. This would have been your junior or senior year, right? Mm-hmm. All right, and your mom dies. Like, what? How old was she when that happened?
52 or 53.
What was it from?
She drank too much, and it finally caught up with her.
All right, so what was that effect on you? Like, what happened there?
I was mortified. Trauma is a tough thing for all of us, and many of us obviously experience trauma. That's why I one of the reasons we do mental health as well as working with children, with other people, with insurances. But it's, who wants to lose their mom? And then I'd lost my grandmom, so I'd lost two moms.
Really? What was the time frame of that?
And my grandmother died when I was 16.
Wow.
It was so interesting. I played sports. I was lucked up in school. I was president of class all 4 years.
I highly doubt it was luck. I'm sure it was work.
Well, but my family laughed and talked. They just didn't work you to death. It was a loving family, but you needed to do the right thing, or you also got the discipline for not doing the right thing.
Right.
But the love was certainly there.
Mm-hmm.
The trauma in terms of my mom dying validated the importance of helping people. My grandparents bringing me in as a foster child, actually, only unofficially,
right,
taught me that you need family, taught me that you need the village. I know that's a word used often, but it's still in my mind so true.
So your mom's passing was a reinforcement of the action that you're doing. So it was like a cement marker.
You bet. This is what I need to do.
And okay.
My mom took me to get baptized at a church my grandmother founded. It's still here in Flint.
Your grandmother founded the church?
Yeah, she lived on Vermont Street here in Flint. And they call it Vermont Christian. It's right over there in Lippincott still.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know exactly where that's
at. Yeah, no, yeah.
Well, your grandmother did that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. So you're 21, 22, you get your degree, you go and work for the state. Mm-hmm. And then, so you're working for the state, you're working for families, and you have a full-time business that you're running on the side?
Well, we had in the summers, we ran still the lawn services.
Oh, so you had a three-month business.
Yeah.
Okay, then marriage, kids, anything in that time?
Yes, I got married young, and I failed.
Yeah.
I'm from the country, married a girl from the city. We had a son. We still have a son. He's now 56 years old.
Wow.
I'm friends with her now. She's friend with me. You have to be if you have a child, I think. You don't have to be, but it's better.
If
you are.
Absolutely.
I finally got it right in the 80s when I married my wife. I just lost just over a month ago.
Yeah. All right. So you can't. You can't just jump 20 years.
Okay, all right.
So,
all right, I'll come back.
So what year did you guys separate?
That's been 50 years ago. I don't remember.
All right.
We weren't married.
So it had. Do you have your master's degree at this point?
No.
Okay.
I was in grad school when the divorce there.
Okay. And your son was how old?
Three, four, five.
Okay. Yeah. So this is just another reinforcement of why you want to do what you want
right,
to do.
Right. But that was a depressive time.
Of course, because the females in your life, it just seems like they just keep missing, right? So right.
You're missing, but then I failed and I didn't want to fail. I wanted it to work.
Well, it's failing is part of success.
Oh, I know. I understand that. But it's still, when you're going through it, it's painful. I did have another job. I was working part-time for a psychiatrist, teaching me how to be a therapist. And he was good.
Yeah.
But I remember I was going to kill myself because my wife left.
And you're how old right now? 20?
23, 24 years. I'm young. I'm going to drive off a bridge. And I remember he came over and gave me, my uncle was with him. My uncle I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a shot of Thorazine in the butt. And I'm sleeping. He says, go to sleep before you get crazy and do something crazy. And then I remember waking up. I said, this shot didn't help, but I'm screaming downstairs. And he came up and gave me another one. Hell, I didn't wake up for a day and a half. Wow. But from that day, I realized that I had to go forward.
Yeah.
And I did. And so moved on with my life.
So you finished. So at this point, you're like, all right, I'm moving forward. So you finish your master's degree. That's your main function.
Right.
All right. So what happened after that point?
After the master's degree, yeah. As you know, there, I started working with a I had a lot of jobs in between before I got there. I ran substance abuse programs for kids called SODAT.
Okay.
I worked part-time for a psychiatrist while I was in grad school as well. So I ended up working for him.
After you got out?
About full-time.
Okay.
And then it came to me that these kids kept going back to kids. And so I was bringing addict kids into the practice with adults, which didn't work too well. So I left and formed my own substance abuse program.
All right, so what year is that?
The years you get me, I'm so old, but that's right. Somewhere in the early 80s, somewhere in there.
All right, so the mid to late 70s, you're working for the state, you're doing these programs, and you realize this isn't working.
No, I loved it. I helped with halfway house things here. Halfway houses, which it is closed recently. Mm. Then I tried substance abuse stuff with kids called SODAT, Service to Overcome Drug Abuse Among Teenagers, when I left Dr. Sneed.
Service Among Teenagers?
Right.
Okay.
Service, yeah. And then the person I worked with, a woman, was a very excellent therapist. She just died a couple of years ago. She wanted to do heroin addicts inpatient. I didn't ever want to do inpatient work. I wanted to
You wanted to outpatient.
Outpatient work.
Yeah, yeah.
So we called our program after I was still working there, and so that called Monstromini. This is now Rubicon Odyssey. That building, I bought it back in, that they're in on Detroit Street some years ago.
Rubicon Odyssey.
Yeah, Rubicon Odyssey. Okay. It's still here.
Okay, yeah.
And then
that's the one that does ladies, right?
It does both. It's an outpatient run primarily by kind of like the AA model.
Okay.
It's run by many paraprofessionals who've been there, done that, ex-users, but still alcoholics, like AA model.
All right, so what I'm getting from the story so far, you're just a person that works hard, going through life, and has a passion for people and families. That's basically where you kicked off of because of what you grew up with. The summary, is that?
The summary is accurate. I don't know whether or not it was just from family. I choose to believe it's what God led me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see this as a job. I just had this quote-unquote preaching, I called it, to roughly 200 employees now.
Well, the passion that you have for this, you understand that's unique. That's not a normal thing. Start at a kid and know what you want to do at a 9-year-old all the way through. I mean, that's just, you don't hear
even
that.
Even though I got hurt a lot of times, I knew I was loved a lot of times.
Sure.
And I wanted that and still want that to go on to other people. I've been telling people for years, if you do this work, it's not just a job. If it's just a job, I don't think this is the work for you.
Yeah, no, it needs to be a passion.
It needs to be a passion. This is what you believe in. This is what you're going to do.
Because you're going to get hit.
Oh, boy. Oh. You're going to get hit.
There's nothing worse than investing in someone and watching them, and you're like, what are you doing? You know.
Exactly right. And the older you get, the more you think you know, because you've been there, done that.
And the more you've experienced, I think.
And you realize that, no, you still don't know enough, so you still have to keep learning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I often say, I'll be scratching at my casket saying, God, I don't know enough yet. Let me out of here.
Yeah, right.
And I haven't done enough yet. That's why I'm still working.
All right. So you're in your 30s. When did you got remarried? When was that?
I got married in 1980. In the early 80s. I can't remember exactly.
All right. 80. So we're in your mid-30s at this point, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're doing the housing. And then what did that transform into after that?
I went working for another psychiatrist, and we built the largest psychiatric practice at that time in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
One of those still alive as well, Psychotherapeutic here in Flint.
Psychotherapeutic
Treatment Clinic is still here.
Okay.
It's small now, but when I was running it, we were in Lapeer, we were in Detroit, we were in Flint and Pontiac.
Oh.
And in Flint, which is our largest facility, and the doctor got a little bit problems, a different doctor. I wouldn't call his name. He's deceased now.
Yeah.
I mean, we wrote checks one day and they all bounced.
Yeah.
Because his sister told him that I was ripping him off.
Mm.
He was making, for working 4 or 5 hours a week.
Wow.
$100,000 a year. We were doing good work.
Yeah.
And I was making good money.
But yeah. All right.
In effect, I had a deal with him, but I can't be a PC. I didn't know it. The attorney put together a special corporation.
Oh.
But only doctors, attorneys can be in a PC. So owning half the business, I found out wasn't useless as a paper.
Oh,
so I
man.
Said, never again will I work for a psychiatrist. So I started in a center in 1970.
There's probably a lot of people that agree with you. All right, so.
We started in a center in 19.
All right, so you learned that lesson.
Yep.
And then what happens?
Well, when we started in a center for children here in Flynn, it was like, what are we good at?
Yeah.
What am I good at? What are some of my friends who decided to form, that time they call it Innocent, excuse me, Innocent Associates. And that sounded like a law firm.
Innocent so, Associates, IA.
Yeah, Innocent Associates. Okay. Yeah, Innocent Associates. So we finally changed that in 83 to Innocent for Children.
Okay.
Same thing, just a change, name change.
Yeah.
But we opened here in Flint to work with adolescents. We wanted to
adolescents 17 under, 14 under?
13, 14, 15, 16, and 17.
Oh, wow. So the roughest years.
The roughest kids we wanted to work with. So we built that into a program that only serviced that population.
Now, what did that program do? Like,
it did foster care for kids and kept them out of institutions.
Oh, okay. So this is, I see. So you're working with the Jewish section going, listen, I think we can help these guys with
that. And because that's what we do. And that, you know, we chase a lot of kids around the block.
Like I find that amazing because that is like functionally the most difficult section, the 13 to 17.
Right.
Because it's underage and
oh boy.
The rules are all different, right?
I think I'm an adult. I know everything.
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 If I could remember what I remembered at 13, I wouldn't have to do any of this.
Well, I knew everything at 13, so what can I tell you? So does most kids still feel that way.
Yeah, but, so you're doing this now, and your friends that you work, so you're starting to build, at this point, you have yourself a pretty good conglomerate of people that you're working with in the community, right?
We took the 28 most difficult kids that Genesee County DHSS, they called it then, had, and they gave them to us. And for somehow, we turned many of those kids around. So we grew, and we grew with them, and they said, well, we want you to come to Detroit. So went to Detroit. Then I was having squabbles with my partner. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, in effect, I won't go into a lot of detail.
Yeah, yeah.
You keep Flint, I'll go to Detroit and work.
Gotcha. Success broods.
Success and sometimes immaturity. I still wasn't mature enough to figure that out. But anyway, went to Detroit. And interesting enough, in Detroit, they wanted me to find foster homes because they said they couldn't find them. And we found them. That was the AIDS time.
Right.
And we found a lot of them. So then Flint asked me to come back to Flint and do that.
How long was that time period?
From 91 to, from 83.
Yeah.
So 88, 89 when Flint Genesee County asked me to come back.
Yeah, yeah. So 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that was booming down there then, and we already opened an office from there in the Pontiac, and
right.
then they asked me to come back to Flint.
All right.
And work with all kids, all ages.
All right. So that is a great place to take a break. Okay. And when we come back, we're gonna get one success story and one funny story from our guest. If you have not gone to nscenter.org to check out what they're doing, do that now. Hit Spiritual Warfare Unit, like, share, and subscribe. We'll be right back.
I'm really impressed with the teachings that Isaac has been bringing to us, as this is all based from Proverbs.
I like it because it's simple, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's very easy to understand and apply to your life.
It points out, my bad parts and but it's showing me how to do the good parts. And, I'm trying to apply that and, make a better life for myself because I'm tired of where I've been.
It's impacted a lot of the guys as they continue to talk and ask questions after the meetings as they speak to one another regarding the meeting and the messages and the topics that are being brought up, which are down-to-earth topics of situations and things that we live with on a day-to-day basis.
He takes the Bible and he breaks it down into simple terms and where you can understand. And like I said before, sometimes a lot of churches, even the Salvation Army, sometimes we start using these big words that people don't understand, like even saying someone got saved. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say someone got saved? And it's accepting Jesus into your heart. So it's like words like that that we use that people don't understand.
It's just very interesting how he points out, you know, the different things of, you know, the sin part, and then he comes back with the, you know, how to make it better, and he just points it out. It's there, you know. I didn't know all this stuff was in there, but now that he's pointing it out, it's like, wow, you know, I guess if you really dig into the Bible, you find these things.
This is a daily moral standards that we can live by that the teachings are coming from. And honestly, we can take verse by verse as what he's done, and pretty much he's done the hard work for us and now laying it out so that we have an easier understanding.
There are some people who don't like to be in Bible classes, but this one seems to get their attention.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. This is our third session. We're here with Bob. So third session is called our gem session, and that's where we try to get some funny stories. And you had asked if you could do a success story and a funny story. So this is it. What do you got?
Oh, I have numerous success stories, but I'll give you one that's most recent. On Father's Day, I get this beautiful video sent to me. From the guy who's now reports directly to the president of the International UAW.
Wow.
His name is Delrico Lloyd. He's also a minister now.
Mm-hmm.
I call him my nephew and sometimes my son. But he's a graduate of our program.
Okay, so when did he go through the program?
Oh God,
that long ago?
Yeah, it's been in the 90s.
So you've been a part of his life for 30 years.
Oh yeah. Well, many of our children who grow up, once you come to Ennis, as long as you want to come back to Ennis,
you have a family,
age out or not, that's your family, and we love that, and we have many kids that come back. I had a couple of years ago a lady 50 years old fly up here from Alabama, who I mentioned earlier, I was chasing kids around the block. Well, I chased that girl all over Flint at 50 years old to say thank you. And she'd be dead if it wasn't for us. And we have a lot of stories like that, and those are all good stories, you know.
And that's why you do what you do, right?
That's the reward.
By letting those kids know they have value and purpose by giving it to them and showing
right.
it to them.
And giving them when we can forever homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff, I just think I mentioned it to you before we went on air, talked about that yesterday. If this isn't your mission, let me help you find another job.
Right, like if this isn't the thing that gets you out of bed every day.
It'll burn you up. That's the system sucks.
Yep.
It takes forever.
Oh, it'll beat you down.
It'll beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. So support, but mostly compassion, and it's certainly a hell of a lot of hard work.
So the people you're looking for are the people that like to love people. This is what it is.
This is what it is.
These kids are starving.
Not
going to
get rich doing
that.
This job. But, you know, I've made a good living doing this job as well over the years, but it took forever. But that wasn't the first goal.
Right.
The first goal was to help kids and families.
All right. So do you have any funny ones for us? You said you had a bunch.
Well, I'm trying to think of something funny this morning, and I don't know if it's appropriate for on air, but it wasn't about a kid. It was about my retired vice president, Diana Frost, who's like a sister.
Uh-huh.
We're doing a leadership staff meeting one morning, and she was on vacation, but she called in for something. And I had her on speaker, and I didn't know where she was. But she was in the bathroom. I didn't see her. And the whole executive staff heard her doing the job.
Oh, no.
And I laugh about that till today.
Oh, no.
But, you know, the funny things are just, you know, seeing kids, they're both funny and make you happy. It's like celebrating an adoption of a kid. We do 150 or so adoptions a year.
Wow.
And they're all special needs. We don't sell kids. That's why we don't do the other ones. These are kids. And 85% of our foster parents adopt through our adoptions.
But wow.
It's just, you can laugh about when they came in and look at where they are now.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was interviewing a lady for a vice president job with us because we've grown so much. And she was saying, well, she was intimidated this and intimidated that, and she got to get this done and that done. And I said, 3 years ago, where were you? And she started laughing. And she's like, you were so meek. You're not looking at the growth you're making now.
Yeah.
It's like watching your kids, if you have kids grow.
Yeah.
You look at them and say, they haven't grown, but someone else comes over and says, my God, that kid's growing like a weed.
Yep.
You don't see your growth. And that's right. The importance of also teamwork and what we do. And the bigger you get, the harder it is to maintain.
Right.
Each of our directors in our eight sites really have to be real leaders.
So one of the things I want to clear up in that, you talked about, you said you didn't sell your kids. Tell people what you mean when you say you don't sell your kids.
Probably shouldn't have said that before. Professionally, excuse me, but you can pay for an infant in adoption.
So you can
$25,000 to $50,000 to adopt an infant.
Really?
Everybody wants a white infant.
A white infant?
Usually a white infant, not so much. But African Americans are now starting to pay for an infant, that kind of money. Mm. And
you look to place somebody in
place them where we'll pay you to help love that kid and give him a home. When I say we, the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Through us.
Yeah.
We want the kid to have a happy home.
Yeah.
We want the kid to have what I call a forever family.
So you have, so you're at the mid-90s, you started all these. How many of these foster buildings do you have? Like,
we have 7 Innis ones from Saginaw all the way to Monroe.
No kidding.
In the middle, Flint, Howell, Pontiac, Grand Blanc.
The number I heard is ringing in my head. It was like over 500.
We have over 500 kids just in our foster care programs.
We treat
mental health programs now into the hundreds, and moving. That's growing. We have to find
good
qualified licensed therapists because we're approved all insurances.
Okay.
We treat older clients as well, Medicare clients, Medicaid clients, Blue Cross clients, whatever. And we call that the Robin Hood theory, or I call that the Robin Hood theory. What I mean by that, foster care really doesn't pay enough in most areas to live on its own. So we have to have fundraisers and golf outings and to support that. So if we do therapy and bill insurances, we don't get rich there either, but the surplus,
we
get 20% on a dollar, we put that back into the base. You know, back into the
so you use the money to reinvest
for our mission, for our mission programs, right? So they become kind of like, I call it the Robin Hood theory, rob Peter, pay Paul. We're not robbing anybody, but the issue is building the base. Our base is foster care and adoption.
Right.
We do tons of other programs.
And in your experience, when it comes to foster care and adoption, how many of these parents are struggling with addiction, do you think?
60 to 70%.
60 to 70.
Yeah. And the other underreported issue is the issue of sexual abuse. They'll come in for neglect or come in for something else. Then all of a sudden the kid says, well. After you trust them.
Yeah.
Well, my uncle or my dad or my mom's boyfriend or abused me.
Yeah.
Or it happened so long ago and they buried.
And you're dealing with that at a 60 to 70% clip.
Oh, yeah. And we have our own, we now do for kids.
Yeah.
Actually, we call it SafeNet.
SafeNet?
SafeNet is a program for kids who've been sexually abused.
Yeah.
That we treat. It's, in fact, one of our most successful programs because we have the perk.
A perk?
Yeah, perk. Right. We don't treat the perk, but we have a perk that we have the legal clout to say if you mess with this kid again.
Yeah, yeah.
And this kid then there. And then the kids who become perks, we treat us all, also kids, remember, not adults.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've been abused.
Wow.
And so they go out and copy what they've been abused from someone else. And those kids become, most of the case, successful.
Right.
But that's a hard one to market because people don't want to accept.
Well, where do people go if they want to find that?
They come to us if they're kids because we do the treatment.
All right. So if they go to...
Yeah, we contract with a court over in Livingston County. We had a contract with Genesee County here. They switched it over, not because of anything wrong.
Yeah.
They switched it over to a different program that I don't believe works, but money drives many things, unfortunately.
Sure.
And good things sometimes get closed when they shouldn't.
All right. So is this still an open program?
We're still in Livingston.
So if they go to nscenter.org,
they can find out. We have our own clinical program. We do art therapy. We're looking for art therapists now. We've had kids.
What kind of art therapy are we talking about here?
Varieties, for example. We got a guy in Flint who runs we contract with him. He calls Bangtown.
Bangtown?
Bangtown.
All right.
Kids make their own music, write their own music, create their own disc. And the interesting thing is we've had kids go to that program and come out talking who couldn't talk when they went in now, not just talking, but singing.
Really?
We also have them doing plays and stuff. And the sad part about the plays,
man, that's
is
cool.
Often they start talking about
their experience.
Suicide. We got kids 8 and 9 years old contemplating suicide.
8 and 9?
Oh, 8 and 9. It's getting worse. And this pandemic, or I'm not sure the reason, isolation maybe,
yeah,
has accelerated that.
Wow.
And so we use dance, tap dance. We use art. We use comics. Anything that it moves to better self-image or a better socialization way to how to get along without stealing, how to do that. And we edit something by accident.
Really?
Food. We run 4-hour programs, 2-hour programs.
Yeah.
And so we have a break, and they feed the kids. Then
okay.
They really start to talk. And I said, we should have thought of that a long time ago. What do you do as your
own? Most people talk over food.
Right? Over food. at the morning breakfast or the dinner. If you sit down, you end up talking and sharing things that you wouldn't ordinarily share.
Yeah, right.
So that's been a great thing for us. And the Flint school system has helped us in the past with letting us subsidize the lunches like they feed kids.
All right. So at this point, you started this off in the 90s, and it just started to spread from county to county. And how many counties are you in right now? 8?
We have offices in 7.
7?
We service, I'm guessing, because we do all the training for Region 2, which is the thumb for every foster parent that comes to the system, not just ours.
Mm.
We call that R2, where we train them, and then where they go where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we service probably 35 counties.
35 counties. Mm-hmm. Man, that is cool.
Because you see, when you're in Saginaw, you got kids from Bay City. Got kids from Midland.
Yeah, yeah.
Got kids from Clare. If you're over in Monroe, you got kids from Lenawee County in those towns there. So you end up, the rule is 75 miles away.
Wow.
You can still be serviced by one of our sites.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that is a perfect spot to take a break. If you've not gone to nscenter.org, you're running out of time, please check that out. What a great opportunity to meet these people. Spiritual Warfare Unit, like, share, and subscribe. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold. Share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, have some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid sign-ups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really have some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably 200 to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there's been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. This is our last section. We're here with Bob Ennis, and he was just finishing up his stories on the 500 kids. Annually, 2,000 kids go through your program in 35 counties. Is that right?
That's correct.
Man, that is unbelievable. And you've been doing this for 30-plus years.
Ennis has been doing this for 40. I've been doing it for 50-some years. But Ennis since 1978.
And this has been in existence since 1978.
Correct.
Man, that is unbelievable. And so if someone wants to go on there, so you're constantly hiring people, you're looking for stuff.
We're looking for art therapists right now? We're looking for art therapists right now. We're looking for licensed therapists right now. We're looking for caseworkers. We're looking for foster parents. I don't know if people know that foster parents are reimbursed, but that's not pay. It's called age-appropriate board and cure, so they're not taxed.
Sure. So if someone has a passion for kids, they can bring them into their home or some
Call the number and or go to our website.
Call the 888-200-8915 number?
That's right. Or go to innocenter.org and go to our Facebook page.
Either or. And it's just a way. So you basically created a function that between the government and the community, they can help it in any direction.
In any direction.
Man, that's tutoring, so, because normally it's one or the other, right? The
money to tutoring to new clothes, and we say new clothes because we tried to gently use, and then we ended up getting roaches and everything else coming into the office, so that didn't work. And besides, our kids need new clothes. For example, they get a clothing allowance that you won't believe.
Well, it made me nervous that you laughed at it.
Oh, I can't remember the numbers now because I don't want to. But like $200 or something, $300 at max. And then next six months, you get that again. Well, you can't buy a pair of jeans somewhere now for less than $50 or so this year.
Yeah, right. So unless you're going to go get those panel jeans.
Right. So we're always, if you will, looking and working at getting clothing, getting stuff for kids. We now... Our kids get computers. People donate them to her. Our kids get, we don't give them cell phones, but they have cell phones, but, foster parents usually buy them.
Yeah.
But foster parent needs a desk. We need a bed. We need whatever. We find a way to get it for our kids because they need it. And we try a way to get them something new so they're not going to school. Well, that's that foster kid or they got enough trauma.
Yeah. All right. So out of all the things that you're doing right now, in regards to the kids and the outreach and them fostering the adoption, what is the thing that you wanted to make people aware of the most? Is it the foster adoption homes? Is it the educational awareness?
it's so many things. The priorities now for our base, our foster parents are bricks and mortar. And what I mean by that, to help kids to have to get them in a good home, that's crucial. And then 85% of the people do that when their kids become. Their rights get terminated by the court.
Yeah,
then they're adopted. They're adoptable. 85% of the adoptions we do are from foster parents. So we lose a foster parent a good way. They adopt the kid, or sometimes they stay on if they have space.
And do you find that having the foster parents that take these kids on? Do you find that they're getting a reward from that with the kids as well?
Yes, I do. Except. Not as much as they should, because if something goes wrong, and in this life something usually goes wrong, then it implodes into all foster parents are bad or this or that, and that's not true.
Yeah, it's just not true.
It's just not true.
No, all of anything is true.
That's exactly right. Now, some of them make mistakes like we do, and sometimes we have to take people's licenses, because we can't guarantee, I guess, what a person's going to do today or tomorrow. Like, you can't guarantee whether you're going to be alive 2 minutes from now. I mean, you really can't.
Yeah,
but we try our best through structure and through monitoring and through being in the home and having really hands-on families.
Because I got to tell you, looking at this from the outside in and just taking a look at it, like your story of what you are is a driving life passion from the beginning of your life, right? And that has been the driving force. And then you had an enforced work ethic from your family, your grandparents, and your uncles, like you said. You're always doing two or three jobs at the same time, and now you got this thing that you've been doing for 50 years.
Yeah, this one for 45, but I've been doing this work because I work for the state, and I worked for an outpatient clinics for a while.
And it's so multifaceted, right?
Right, and that's what the biggest need now that we'll be educating people for in Saginaw County and Genesee County. The system sucks, and we're part of it, so I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'll give you a couple examples
of
what we want to change. We created a new corporation called FACT.
F-A-C-T?
Okay. Family and Children Together.
Wait, say it again.
Family and Children Together.
Family and Children Together. Right. Okay, got it.
And the purpose of that is to overhaul and improve the system. I'll give you a couple examples.
I'll give you
50. If your child is removed from your home for abuse or neglect, before you get any services, it's 45 to 60 days. You can visit your kid.
Who's not getting service?
The birth parents.
Okay, what do you mean by the...
Not treatment.
Give me an example. No mental health? No,
nothing. They're sitting there.
They just do what with them?
They have to process through the court. Everything begins at the court, ends at the court.
So how do you speed that up? I mean,
that's one of the things we want to do. In other words, we want to work with Protective Services to give an assessment to the jurist within 2 weeks of what this family needs and projecting how long they'll be in care and what services are going to be there.
Oh,
and
so
get them implemented.
And these are the birth parents.
Birth parents, parents, kid, everybody. Then the judge can have those recommendations that they make the decisions.
So right now it takes 6 weeks and you want it to take 2 weeks.
Exactly right. I can do it faster than that, fine, but we're not miracle workers. We got to go out and assess what the deal is
yeah. And
be real about it. And we've got Judge Beagle here in this county aboard to saying the system, I won't say he said the system sucks, but
yeah. It
needs to be improved.
Yeah.
He's on board with this type of thing. We're also looking at, you know, not just the kid. Remember, the kid is who you get paid for. So the money follows the kid.
Okay.
Everybody says follow the money, right?
Yeah. Follow money,
to me,
follow the kid.
And we should say it should follow the family.
Okay.
It should follow the kid and the community. So we're trying to change that to an integrated system. For example, we
yeah.
got six superintendents in this county.
Okay.
Retired some of them, some of them not.
All right.
And expanding that, saying we got the same kid. But the education system pays you. Child welfare system pays me.
Mm-hmm.
Court system, someone else paid. So whose kid is it? Everybody says, my kid. No, it's our
all
kid.
It's all of them.
That's right. And then what have we done with a kid that we need to do in an institution like residential?
Yeah.
That's our ICU. That the kid should go to ICU, but it should be able to step down quicker.
Okay.
And go into maybe a supportive group home, or then whatever, on the way home, or maybe straight home. And discharge should be an admission. What's the plan? How it's measured? If a barber is who you talk to, or the janitor at your school,
yeah,
we have to integrate those systems. My counselor in high school wasn't the counselor. It was the janitor.
So you're saying, if I'm understanding from a layman's person, you're saying each one of these pots that the kid has, a different one, need to be structured in the same.
They need to be integrated so that we work together truly. Everybody's doing a good job, but we're not connected.
Hmm. So it needs to be communication between these.
And planning of who's going to do what and when and how we're going to.
How in the world would you fix it? That's like.
We've been working on it for 3 years, but we did it in Wayne County. We privatized the
really?
In Wayne County. And that's one of our agencies. We run.
So you're creating networking
We're creating a connected village.
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah.
And there's so many people out there who do want to do and make things better.
Yeah.
And we just haven't dug them out. Or we think, well, the system sucks, and it does. 50% of the kids who come into care do not go home.
50%?
Across the nation, not just here in Flint.
That's a national average.
That's a national average. I got the data to prove it.
Wow.
That's got to be corrected.
Yeah.
And we think we found some ways, and 20 other states are doing some of this. We call it community-based care.
Yeah.
We meet Monday with the director of DHS, with the help of Senator Ananick from here, some ex-directors of DHS.
Uh-huh.
I termed out Senator over in St. Clair County, where we have an office who believes in us.
Yeah. Now, don't you have something coming up where you're sitting down talking?
That's exactly what we're doing. We got a package to give them to show them how it works.
And that's, you said like tomorrow, right?
Monday.
So.
We've been working on it for a long time, but we finally got.
After 3 years, and Monday's the day, huh?
Monday's the day.
How do you like your chances? Like,
I think it's about 80% chance. If not, we're not giving up.
Well, of course not.
I'll take it to foundation.
That's not even an option.
No, it's not an option. We're talking about our kids' lives here and our families' lives.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about all the same things, cultural sensitivity. We're talking about valuing people. We're talking about if you live out here and you're poor and you're still eating, you got some strengths.
Yep.
So we're talking about how we build on those strengths. Because right. What I believe, it's the only thing scientific truly about my work or our work in the mental health field or behavioral health field is the following. Mm. If you increase positives, what has to happen to negatives? They have to go down.
Right.
And we can do that. We can't fix anybody. We can help people fix themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be about. That means valuing the people that we serve, remembering that's who we work for, that we're not coming here saying, here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. That's not a relationship.
Right.
There's some things that you may have to do because of the court orders.
Sure.
If you don't follow them, you've got some consequences. But how can I help you do that? How did you get here in the first place? How in the hell can we get you out of this system? Because it's easy to get in.
Right.
And hell to get out.
So, again, layman's response to what you're saying is you're basically sitting in front of the government and saying, we have all of these functions that these people need, and we have them, and we want to put them together. Mm-hmm. So the person comes in, and we're allowing them to see there's several positives. Each one has their own controlled positive for that person. And the outcome is they have more positives than negatives when they walked in, and they have relationship if they choose it. And that produces a positive on the outgoing. That's
a fairly good summary in just a few minutes of me talking to you. If you want to look at this.
Slow, not stupid. You know,
I'm not suggesting that at all.
Oh, no, I'll get you the paperwork. I'll definitely say I'm slow. But that is, and that's amazing. You said that's in 35 counties. So when
the counties we want to run this, phase one, we call it, is Genesee and Saginaw. And if it works, we'd like it duplicated across the state of Michigan. The additional piece we have is that we have a consultant who's doing this in other states. He's doing it in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to run the U.S. Children's Bureau under both Trump and Obama.
Okay.
He only left that job in 1-6. I wonder why.
Mm. You know what I find is really cool? You told me before the show, is when it comes to political support, you have people on all sides of the aisle, because the one thing that we can all agree on is helping kids that came up in a rough environment needs to be fixed.
You got it.
And the thing that I like about what you're doing is you identified when you said, well, the system sucks. And you hear that all the time. Mm. But, you know, one of my old buddy sergeants used to say, he's like, every whiner can tell you what sucks. But if you find a solution to that problem, the likelihood of you getting what you want becomes very high. Right. And that's what you're doing. You're producing an outcome of success based off of identifying problems and providing a solution, right? And those solutions are using what's already there and then adding on another layer to help communication amongst the areas.
That's rocket science.
Right.
And that's right. It's not. And we're not trying to do it all. We're trying to help connect so that everybody that does well or a piece does it well. We don't want to run the whole state. And we don't think this type of design should be run by anybody other than their regions. Because even in this our city.
Right.
North side has different issues. They have many of the same issues than the south side.
Sure.
The east side has different issues there. You better get to what that community wants to make things change in that community.
Well, I tell you what, I am so glad that you came on, Bob. Thank you so much for being here. This was a super fast hour. If you've not gone to nscenter.org, your time is up. You have to catch it on the internet. Thank you so much for all the stuff you're doing. I really look forward to having you back, kind of seeing what you're doing. If you've not checked out Spiritual Warfare Unit and like, share, and subscribe, this is your last chance. And thank you so much for watching. We will see you guys next week. Do you have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much. Shine through. Now my life will never be the same.
marks and let me stay this way.